reminds me of a favorite saying of mine that said, could you let go of being so smart and allow it to be other than you think it is? So we have to keep an open mind, and I believe Brother Smith said, think today what this world would be like if there was no God. Well, I like to explore other people's views, so I've been reading this book. It's 1,200 pages long, and it's by an atheist, and I like to get their perspective on things, you know, because it's good to consider the other point of view. But just like we read the Bible and we say that's the way it is, this book, you read it, and he said, well, this is the way it is, no question. But I mean, he gets pretty far out there. He said that when Einstein came up with his theory of relativity, he left out one thing. He left out human consciousness. And so this man says that human consciousness is a supreme thing in the universe, that the human consciousness has created planets outside our solar system that is far advanced than us. So, you know, it's pretty strange some of the things that people believe when they leave God out of the equation. But glad I made it today. You know, sometimes when you get ready to go to church, it seems like things can come up and hinder you. And I thought I was making good time this morning, but I had bought a new belt this week, and it had a leather tag on it where it hung on the rack at the store. And it was, I pulled on that thing, I couldn't get it loose. So I went and got a knife, and I thought, well, I cut it loose. I couldn't cut it loose. And finally, I took the knife and pried it open. Finally got it open. I put it on, and the hole was not lined up to where I could fasten it. So I had to go find a Phillips screwdriver and punch a hole in it. And finally, I got a hold of where I needed it to be tied on my waist, and then I started putting my shirt on. I had trouble buttoning the top button, so the things that can come up when we get ready to go to church. But you know, according, I believe some of these conspiracy theorists, I know they can get kind of far out, but according to them, we're going to see some things this year that we've never seen before, like the government impinging upon our rights. And I believe President Obama has already said his point number one priority is coming after guns. And I definitely believe they're going to come after the semi-automatic weapons. And you know, I don't have a gun, but I think people should have the right to have a gun, but I don't know that we really need a gun that will shoot 30 rounds. But I've been listening to these policemen on the radio, and they say they're being drilled on how to confiscate people's guns. And you know, if they start going around confiscating people's guns, that could cause a civil war. And actually, what they want is a civil war so that they can bring in the military. And they want martial law in America, where they're taking away more of our freedoms. Our enemy is not Al-Qaeda. Our enemy is our government. They're the ones that's taking away our freedom. And Al-Qaeda is not our government's enemy. We are the government's enemy. Anybody that believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. So anyway, I believe there's definitely some changes coming this year about clamping down on our freedoms. And so it's going to be interesting to see what this year brings. But you know, at night I often pray. I give thanks for my healthy day and for the food I have to eat and the water I have to drink. But you know, one of the most thankful things I give thanks for is the air we breathe, because we can live without water and food for a while. We can't live very long without air, so I appreciate that air, even though we can't see it. But I'd like to be as healthy as I can, as long as I can, and I do aerobic exercise, and I decided I'd make some changes in my health, in my eating style. And I told my sister, now I might drink a soft drink occasionally, but she keeps me loaded with 10, 12 pack cartons of Pepsis. I told her not to be bringing any more Pepsis over. And I might eat a piece of cake or a piece of pie once in a while, but she kept me constantly loaded with cakes and pies. I said, don't bring any more cakes and pies over. And I ate cereal in the morning, and I thought, well, I'm going to quit eating cereal in the morning because it's carbohydrates and it turns to sugar. So I'm trying to make some adjustments in my eating style, and also eating 5 helpings of fresh fruits and vegetables. I don't think I've ever done that before in my life. But, you know, with all the health, I mean, I feel healthy for my age, and I like to think I'm healthy. But I wonder if I'm as healthy as I think I am, because I've been reading about these GMO, genetically modified foods. And it says they pose serious risk to our health. It might not happen overnight, but over time, it's not really healthy. And what they do, these genetic engineers take the genes from viruses, bacteria, humans, and animals, and they inject it into the DNA of crops and animals, and it forms an organism that would never occur normally in nature. So we're eating stuff that we don't know what the outcome's going to be. Now, they say they do this to make the crops more resistant to insects, but the conspiracy theories say they're doing it to cut down, to shorten our lifestyle by making us sick. And Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Gates are super rich, and all three of them say that they're eugenicists. They say we need to thin out the population, that there's too many people, and maybe they're right, but I don't think we need to go around exterminating people. You know, when I was a kid, I think there was like 1 billion or 1.5 billion people in the world, and now there's like 7 billion plus. So anyway, they say we need to exterminate some people, but anyway, you know, when I was about in the 70s, there was a song called "Yet You Just Ain't Seen Nothing Yet." So I appreciate the spirit we have, but I don't think we've seen anything yet about what the body of Christ is going to be like, and I don't think we've seen anything yet about how this world is going to become. But as Brother Tucker used to say, I'd rather be on the inside looking out than on the outside looking in. So we're fortunate people to have a revelation of the body of Christ, and it's just a privilege to be here. And I know I'm not here as often as I should be, but I dream about this place pretty often. I dream about services where the Spirit's really falling, and I dreamed about Brother Tucker the other night, so I know it's in my heart, or I wouldn't be dreaming about it. Anyway, I guess I've taken up enough time, but it's great to be here, and praise God.
Channel that we were feeling in the song service. Singing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord. You feel God in that. Lord reaching out, touching different ones. And we want to try to stay in the channel to see what the Lord wants to say to us tonight. And there may be some testimonies that you know, there are messages, whatever the Lord has, and we try to stay in the channel, we'll find what the Spirit is saying to the church. So, feel out tonight. And I know I was thinking while we were singing and the Spirit of the Lord was moving, how God talks to our hearts, and how God deals with us, you know, on all so many different levels. I first started going to the Dominican Republic, well, the Lord started giving people over there dreams, and I was used to interpreting dreams over here. You know, people come to me, give me a dream, and or tell me their dream, and there's, so God talks to us in dreams. That's one of the ways that the Lord talks to his people, besides the Word of God or revelation or someone else sharing something. That, you know, the Lord has many ways of talking to us, but one is upon our bed and in dreams and visions. And when these people started having dreams, I couldn't find any way of interpreting. Wasn't no symbols in it. And I began to realize that there's just a natural dream. What God was telling them was just as plain as a nose on your face, and that's the way they've seen it, because they didn't know how to interpret anything spiritual. And that God does that when he first starts dealing with you. He deals with you on a more natural level. Somebody recently told me God used to deal with them. One of the ways God dealt with them was through their car when they was young, you know. God, however he can get your attention, he'll do it. If you'll, you know, if you can feel like God's talking to me. But as you continue your relationship with him, he'll begin to move over into more spiritual understanding. And God deals with people in different ways. I know my dad had a heart towards God, but he never could really get connected to God. He came up in a time and in a place where he had very little understanding or little vision of what God was doing or how God worked. And so it just wasn't enough for him. And so he couldn't stay connected. But, if he'd get somewhere where God's people was and the Spirit of God was, it would touch him. He couldn't help but get touched. I remember when Michael and Cindy got married. Dad hadn't been to church, no telling when, but we had a great move of spirit in Fort Worth Church that night, and Dad was up front and getting blessed with his arms up in the air. And God was touching him. That's God's mercy. God will save his children. But sometimes God doesn't have a way to keep people connected. I was thinking about my mother. My dad was an alcoholic. He was what I would call a controlled alcoholic. He could drink every day. When he was young, he drank about a quart of whiskey every day. And you wouldn't know he was drinking till late in the evening. He'd finally get enough of it in his system that he couldn't function properly, and you'd know this guy's drunk. But he was a mean drunk. He was abusive, and he was physically mean. He beat my mother several times. He used to sleep with a ball bat under my pillow as a little boy because I wanted to protect her from his abuse. I grew up with that fear that, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night with my father beating my mother. And so it was difficult. I wouldn't tell that she wasn't here. If she was here, I don't know that even she'd remember it. But thank God she can't remember everything. But us boys almost begged her to leave him and wished that she would many times, but she never would. She hung on. She kept praying. And she, even to this day, she'll tell you that it's not all his fault. She'd say, my big mouth got me in a lot of trouble with him. If I'd have kept my mouth shut, it wouldn't have made him so mad, and he wouldn't have beat me. But I could have prevented a lot of that if I'd have kept my mouth shut. Well, that's sort of the syndrome of an alcoholic's wife. The alcoholics makes everybody feel like it's their fault that they're alcoholics. You know, they put a big guilt trip on everybody. But still, it's a problem. But mother held on to God for dad. And you know, I'm thankful now that she did, because in the latter years of his life, he got saved. He really got saved. Humbled himself before God. And I, of course, I don't know his heart, but I know it looked to me like he died just. He died with cancer, but it humbled him, and he took it right. He just let it humble him. He got so humble before he died and was so repentant to everybody for everything he had done. And I was just thinking about that, how, you know, how merciful God is. And here down in, but if mother hadn't held on, a lot of times people don't realize how important it is to live for God, how much effect you're going to have on your family. It may be later in their life. You know, they may not have time to reach perfection. They might, but they might not. But if they could be touched of God, you're their only avenue for them to get to God, maybe. You may be the only way to, you know, I've talked on how, you know, that you can't put your family above God. And then at the same time, you need to realize how God will use you to save your family. God has to have a way to touch you, touch your life. And you're the only connection sometimes that family members have. So I was thinking about that song about bread of heaven, you know, feed me till I want no more. I was thinking about the little woman at the well, the little Samaritan woman, that Jesus told her, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you'd ask him for one, and he'd give you water to drink that you'd never thirst again. It'd satisfy your soul, in other words. It's the Spirit of God. If you'll stay connected to God, you'll never thirst for him. But he told that little woman, he said, you worship you know not what, because she was a Samaritan, and Israel had, which, you know, there was a division, the north and southern kingdom of Israel was divided, and the northern kingdom lost out with God and started worshiping idols. So I was just thinking about, you know, God's grace and his mercy, that there was still enough connection to that little Samaritan woman, that she was part of Israel, part of the elect of God, that Jesus was reaching out to her there. Aren't we glad that for his grace and his mercy, and that he still, that he found us, and that he's still reaching out to others, and he'll use you and I. I'm just trying to show, I'm just, you know, I thought tonight there may be somebody God's wanting to give their testimony that would touch somebody else. And you may be sitting there wrestling, wondering whether or not you ought to give it. But the Lord's, he touched us in that song, and I think we ought to, let me give you a little bit of counsel here. When the Spirit of God comes in a service, be careful about jumping up, getting off on a bunch of stuff that ain't got nothing to do with what God's doing in a service. Stay in the channel. If you can't get in the channel, sit down and be quiet for a while and wait until you feel like what you've got to fit. Let's let the Lord let's let the Spirit operate in our services where it'll be profitable and it'll accomplish something. Because you, if you're not careful, you can get up and you can dry the service up. What the Spirit was working on, you can just take us completely away from that, get everybody's minds on something carnal that doesn't have anything to do with what God was trying to talk to us about. And you can destroy what God's trying to do in a service. So we want to be careful of that. We want to watch the Spirit. You know, we want to maintain what Brother Souders gave us. Watch the Spirit and then watch your spirit. Make sure your spirit is working in the channel of what the Spirit is doing. And we'll see God accomplish more in our services if we'll do that. Praise God. All right, let's just reach out and feel out here for the Lord tonight.
There's a saying we had back in the old church. It was probably, you know how these sayings go around the body, you know. And he's talking about your cup, and, you know. So put your cup under the spout where the glory comes out, you know. And isn't that true, though? And, you know, you see the Spirit moving, and you want to put your feelers out and get in on what's going on, you know. And, how I know it? Because I'm guilty of neglecting that sometimes. You know, sometimes you get up and say something, you talk to yourself more than anybody else. I guess it's a. But anyway, that being said, I'm still thankful that we can go on with God. I'm thankful that God can, you know, we was talking about different things about, you know, perfection and we hear these things and. It kind of motivates us, doesn't it? You know, I mean, we got to get busy. You know, to see the urgency of things, and I know, sometimes we been there, done that, got the T-shirt and all that, but you know, let's do it. Just give it one more chance. Let's do it again. You know, let's go on. You know, I mean. You know, it naturally. Let me get myself in trouble, Brother Smith. How many of y'all ever tried to do something naturally? You know, play an instrument or something like that, and get so frustrated you just want to slam it on the ground and stomp on it. You know. Well, I do. I did. And I get so frustrated, you know, but after a while, what do? You pick it back up, clean it up, straighten it up, you know, and get after it again, you know. That goes along with, you know, you can fall down, you can stumble, you can stub your toe, trip in the spiritual walk, but get back up, keep going. Go on with God, you know. You know, find a. You know, I bet I'm the worst one about getting a negative mind sometime in this church. You know, y'all didn't know that, did you? Might as well fess up right now. But you know, I might just have to kind of. You know, calm down and let the smoke clear and the dust settle and all that. And start thinking about the good things of God, you know. Oh, God, all the things you bless us with. I was watching, after I went home today, this little film. It's about this preacher, and I thought I was going to have more pictures in it. What it did, it was about even our in our how big God is. You know how big God is. You know, and it talked about, you know, he gave this example, this the earth had this little golf ball. And how many earths would fit in the sun, you know. And then went on to these, there's a big star called, I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong so young people can laugh at me if you want to, Canis Major. Great big old star, you know. And they said that if you even put a little, they had this like a scenario of a picture of a star there. If you took a little dot of a pen and put it on the screen there, it'd still be too big representing the earth. Showing the greatness, how God could just, what they were portraying, how God could, something so great and vast that, you know, and he kept going back to the part, and there you are on that little golf ball down there, somewhere on that little golf ball. Yet, God counts the hairs on your head, doesn't he? My God, isn't that a good God? My Lord, the things that's been made, and this is just in the Milky Way galaxy. It's, you know, and then he went the other direction. You know how the miracle of cell and the things that, you know, they said if you take the strand of one cell, the DNA of one cell, and took it out, and you could stretch it out and measure it, be 6 feet long. And just, you know, the how God just, it's just wonderful how, I mean, you know, these things are natural, but it just shows how great God is. And even in that, how great that is, you know, I thought, my Lord, that he, a God so great, could send his son to come down on this earth and to make a way that, you know, we may have life. To think of us so much. My God, I thank you, Lord God, for that. I thank you, God, that you, before I was even thought of, that you know, there was a plan that I could, you know, if I'm willing, you know, if I can go on with you, Lord, if I can dust myself off, and if I can pick myself up again and reach out for you, it's not in my strength alone. It takes a little effort. I know it's your grace, God. Yes, it is your grace. It's your grace and mercy on our lives that we go on with you. But it's something that he gives us, you know. And I thought someone mentioned, you know, I can't think of the word of it. I guess I wasn't supposed to say something about that. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, if we were in this life, if right now, if I were 99% pure, I said, what did I say? Our soap was 99% pure, wasn't it? I'd still have to depend on God for that 1%, wouldn't I? I still have to believe for God for that 1%. If I was still attained to 99% pure, it still takes God to get us there, doesn't it? It still takes God. And I'm thankful that we got a wonderful Lord and Savior and that we can sing songs of Zion and get our hearts lifted up. I thank God for tonight.
Should have been the first one to jump right up, but I didn't. But today, when we started the service, most of you probably know that I cracked my shoulder Christmas Eve, and boy, it's been painful. And I thought, then I got this stupid cold. Everybody else does too, so y'all know what it's like. And I thought, I should have requested prayer. But over and over in my head, when I came in, I thought the band started to play. And Well, first of all, the other night I was laying in bed, and the song, How Great Thou Art, the words to it, just rolled over and over in my mind. And I wanted to hear the band play that so bad. And I thought, well, I wonder if they'd take requests. And then the next thought that came to me was that, well, if it's the Lord, they'll play it. And I forgot all about it till I asked Sister Julie today, what's the band playing? And she said, How Great Thou Art. And I remembered that. And that one little thing so overpowered a broken shoulder and the cold and everything. I just thought, God still thinks about us and remembers even when we forget and are ungrateful. And I just wanted to tell him how glad I am to be here.
Is mindful of us. And I've been thinking, I was thinking about this song that we played today, He's Still Waiting by the Well. And I think it's, if I can remember the words to it, I play the music, not the words. But anyway, I think it's like, Jesus' feet were growing weary as he journeyed on his way. So he rested by the well side, a comfort in the heat of day. There he waited for a woman. Oh, God. Black with sin. And I thought, Lord, that was me. That was me, Lord. Didn't know what I needed when I came here. But, oh, my God. Started dealing with my heart. Didn't realize, oh, I didn't realize where I was. Didn't realize the God that Brother Paul was talking about, that Almighty God stepped out on nothing. Say he hung the earth on nothing. I couldn't imagine hanging the earth on nothing. What a God. Hallelujah. Woo! God that my grandma used to pray to. Woo! Used to see her bent down on her knees. Cried out to the Lord, no doubt, for a granddaughter. Woo! What a God. What a God. That the Father said, I'll send you, son. Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go. And he had me in mind. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That at the heat of the day, he rested by that well side. Oh, God. Thank you. With me in mind. Scarred. Life scarred. Yes, it was. My life scarred up. Doomed to death. I was on death row. But God said, Jesus said, I'll go. I'll pay the price. I'll pay redemption's price. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo! You know, I remember prophecy, I believe it was, first of last year in our meeting. Our New Year's meeting, and Brother Smith gave it, that the Lord would give us, that he would give us strength to draw closer to him. He'll help us to draw closer to him. And Brother Smith, I prayed the whole year, all year last year, 2012, reminding the Lord, you said you'd help us to draw closer to you. I need you, Lord, to help me to draw closer to you, Lord. Never been this way before. Never traveled this road before. Never been along this road before, Lord. And I'm needing your help, Lord. I'm needing you, Lord, more. Honey, come now, son of your color, the honor. Honey, come, my sick color, the honor. Her to just come to this church, but I want her to see, I want her to be one of those young people that Brother Smith has been talking about, that the Lord will have a young person or young people that's going to stand up for him. Oh God, it'll be worth every trial, every test that he could put me through to see her basking in what a grandma loves. You know, I love the Lord just like I love to see my grandmother come this way, but yet I saw my grandmother live that life in that what she knew. And if my granddaughter could see that in me and strive toward this goal that I'm striving for, oh, it would be worth every trial, every test. Oh God, every trial, every that he put me through. He's a just God. He makes no mistakes. I know that he doesn't. When he took my child in 09, he didn't make a mistake. He even let me to know that he was going to take him. He told me. I'd leave there crying, leave his house crying, tears rolling down my face. I didn't know why. And I said, Lord, is he going to die? Oh, God, he led me to know. And that's not the first time he's led me to know something that he was fixing to do. I'm so thankful to be serving a God like that. What other God can you serve like that? Why wouldn't anybody serve a God like that? I want to draw closer to him. I want to dedicate my life to him because he is my life. And I want to be faithful to him, so faithful that he would say, just like he told Abraham, would I hide this from Abraham, my faithful servant? well, I want to be that close to him, and I know that's going to take a dedication. Like Brother Smith said, it's nothing that I can do, nothing that I can fix, but I can show myself faithful, to be faithful in the house of the Lord. And that's what I want to be, so close to the Almighty. That when you see him, you see me, and when you see me, you see him. But if you're not sick, oh, yeah, man, it's attainable. I know it is. It's attainable. I know you will. If you come to me, he said, draw to me, Amaya. Draw to me, Amaya. Draw to me, Amaya. He come to me, Amaya.
Thank you.
You know.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I feel like the Lord's talking to a lot of people's hearts tonight about somebody that you love that needs God. I just feel that in the spirit, that the Lord's dealing with that. I just could imagine in my mind, I could just almost ask every one of you, give me a name, and almost every one of you could spit out a name real quick. Let's lay up some mercy for those people here tonight. You don't have to tell me the name, but tell Jesus. Tell him right now. Tell him the one that you'd like for him to touch. Reach out to. I just feel such a burden tonight. For our family and friends that need God. I can feel that God's putting a burden on our hearts for that. And we can lay up mercy. God hears the prayers of the righteous. And you can ask God to touch them, deal with them, help them, oh God. Some way touch them and draw them close to you. I could tell part of what was coming out in the tongues. Part of the interpretation Sister Inez was given forth was, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh to thee. Oh, let's draw close to him so that others can know him. I know there's names, there's people that's on your hearts and your minds tonight, your children, your family, your friends, different ones that God's put a burden on your heart. Could we just pray for them right here? Could we just cry out to God for them? While you were yet in your sin, Jesus died for you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. confident that God can put the people on our hearts that he's trying to save, that he wants to reach out to, and he can use us. I think that'd be another level in God if God would begin to use us to cause others to be drawn closer to him or to know him. And it'd be wonderful this year if God would begin to use different ones of us to add people to his kingdom, graft them back in, or add them to, or multiply. I tell you, there's nothing that'll bring more life to a church than new life. And whoever God laid on your heart tonight, keep putting them up before the throne of God. Keep asking God. Just tell him, I don't know how, Lord, but I know you know how. I know you're able. I know all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Before we go home, why don't we sit down and let the choir sing to us? They need to practice on us. They hadn't practiced on us for a while. Doesn't have to just exactly fit in right here. We just, before we dismiss, we just give them good reason. Sure good to have Sister Brenda tonight and Brother Wes. That's Sister Elsie's daughter, other daughter, one of her other daughters. I wish you had just moved to Little Rock and get in the church and get in here and help us. That's what I wish they'd do. I thank God for being that. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
All right, I'll see you Wednesday night. Come early for prayer meetings, 7 o'clock. And remember,
Brother Paul David this week, he's got a cold.
All right, Brother Paul David. Remember the others we mentioned today were sick. Give Sister Wilkins a call. It would help her. Just lift her up and let her know you're thinking about her. Sister Lynette, keep her in your prayers. She's sick. And remember, I believe what God told Sister Inez is good for all of us. You've got something in your life that people need to know about. Tell it. Sister Linda said, this is one of them services, if you didn't feel God, your feelers broke. All right. Sister Yvonne's brother, Leslie, had to...